But before we get to my notes, I just felt impressed while we were worshiping, and I may not even get to my notes, who knows. But I want to read some verses to you that are not in my notes. Verse 14 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 says this: "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with them those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And then when we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." You know, we're living in turbulent times, and you know, if we watch what's on the news and all that stuff, we'll just go crazy. But what I'm telling you today is, if Jesus is Lord of your life, He's coming again. He's coming again. He's coming again. Now, I don't know if it's today. I don't know if it's tomorrow. I don't know if it'll be in my lifetime or not. I thought, you know, when I first got saved, I thought He'd be here by now. Right? I really did. But it doesn't matter. What I know is He's coming. And some people argue about these times and what's going on. Here's what I know. He's coming and I'm going with Him. Right? He's coming. I'm going. Right? But watch this. It does say for us to be watchful. To be on guard. To live our lives like He could come at any moment. To live our lives like He could come at any moment. You know, there are people who... I know what the Bible says, but I don't want to accept Jesus right now. I'll do it later. I personally believe that there's coming a day when He's going to take the church out. And then there's going to be people that are remaining. Wait a minute. I thought I had more time. I thought I could wait a little bit longer. And they're going to have to go through a tribulation period that's like nothing that's ever been seen before. And the only way that they're going to go to heaven and be with Jesus is a martyr's death. Right? Some glad morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away to a land where life will never end. I'll fly away. Anybody have that hope? Is there anybody where that residing on the inside of you? Because if it's not big on the inside of you, what we're going through will weigh you down.
That's right.
Right? It'll keep you bound, and your joy will be sucked out of you. Because our eyes aren't on the sky, looking for the return of the one who is going to set everything in order.
Lord.
Come on. He's here today. He's for us today. He's for you today.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of things keep people out of church. You might have been in church your whole life, but people made you mad or people disappointed you. And, well, that's just church, because none of us are perfect. But don't keep church. Let church keep you away from Christ. Don't let us keep you away from Jesus. Because Jesus will never disappoint you, never let you down, never. He's here today. He's here for you. He wants you to come. And don't worry about what you look like, what you feel like, whether you're good enough or not, because we're all in the same boat. Outside of Jesus, we're all, the Bible says, our righteousness, our ability to live right, is as filthy rags. Right? I don't live by my righteousness. I died to my righteousness, but I'm alive in His right standing. Amen? Because of what Jesus did in me. So I just want to encourage you today. Get your eyes on the prize. And that prize is He's coming for you. He's coming for you. He's coming for you. I hope it's not today, unless we all go, right? I don't want, if we're all going right now, Lord, be fine. I won't even finish the sermon. It's okay. We'll be okay with that. But I plan to live for a long time. Why? Because I haven't done enough yet to get people out of the kingdom of darkness and that influence and into the kingdom of light. Come on. I believe in you. You can get saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues, praising God, and yet the old kingdom is still have a hold of you and keeping you in depression or poverty or sickness, disease. He's still keeping you bound. And Jesus said, whom I've set free is free indeed. So we still got a job to do, right? We got the good news to preach and to proclaim. Right? God wants to use you to touch people. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We've been talking this month on provision for change. This whole year has been about change. I want change. And we first started, we talked about the roadmap for change. And part of those was that, you know, you have to make a plan and you have to execute the plan and you've got to become accountable to the plan and you have to measure the plan. In other words, Lord, I want to change, but I want to see the change. How many know you don't always see change day to day? Right? As you're going through the discipline of change, you don't always see it. You know, it's not like, Lord, I went on this diet yesterday. How come I haven't lost 50 pounds? Right. I mean, come on, God. You can do anything. No, it's discipline and walking it out. But I believe, and I know personally, for the church, we're seeing great change.
Yes.
Right? But one of the things that we need to change is our mindset.
Yes.
Is our mindset and how big we see God. But not just how big we see God, how big we see God in us.
Right.
How big is our picture of God so that we can believe God for things that we can't do?
That's it.
Right? You know, our faith in God believes when our strength and our ability ends.
Yes.
In other words, Lord, you want me to do what? I can't do that. And He says, no. You're not going to do it. I'm going to use you to do it. And if I'm going to use you to do it, I'll see to it that you have everything you need to get it done. Hallelujah. And I just want to testify. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. That's where we're going to be in a minute. But I just want to testify that in this church, we've seen that happen over and 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 over again. Glory to God. God is faithful. But I'll tell you this, and why I want to change in this particular area is because I believe that I haven't reached where God wants me to be in seeing myself as a reservoir to meet other people's needs. Right? We're talking about provision. I'm not talking just about money. I'm talking about the availability of us to be a resource for somebody else. Glory to God. And we can do it. You and I can do it. You and I can do it, but we need to see that God is going to pour out a blessing on us so that we can't contain it, so that we can meet somebody else's needs.
Woo! Yes!
Right?
Come on.
Yeah. If you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to start in verse 6. This whole thing is about an offering that was being sent to the people in Jerusalem who were hurting, and they were, because they've been cast out and all that, out of their families, out of their jobs, and they were going to send back this offering. But this was like a year in the making. They're taking this offering for a year. Why? Well, because they didn't have Federal Express. You know, they couldn't fly back to Jerusalem. They had to walk back. And so Paul, for a year, has been talking about, I'm going to head back, and when I go back, I want to take an offering. And why should we be taking an offering back to Jerusalem? Why should we do that? Well, here's the reason. Because God used 12 disciples, first of all, and then all those in the upper room to begin to proclaim the gospel. And then he used Peter to say that the gospel was not just for the Jews, but it was for the Gentiles. So the reason that you're here is because of the sacrifices that they made to get you here. So it's just reciprocity that you should turn your heart back toward them. Glory to God. It's not in here, but there's another part of the verse that Paul said, part of the scripture that Paul says this. He said, "You, by the grace of God, you gave beyond your ability to give."
Yeah.
That's awesome. What does that mean? I can give more than I have. I'm not talking about your wallets now. I'm talking about your heart. Because I'm talking about heart to give. It's God, I'm so limited in my capacity. What can I do? That's not the question. The question is, what can you do through me? What am I available to you? How big do I see you in me so that I can believe you for more? And again, I'm not talking about being manipulated into doing anything. I'm not talking about being guilted into doing anything. None of that. What I'm talking about is God speaking to your heart and telling you to do something. And your first question shouldn't be, how is that going to happen? Your first question is, your first statement should be, God, I'll go. I'll do. Glory to God. Glory to God. Okay, verse 6. Let's go. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. That just makes sense, right? Just think about it. You're a farmer, and you go out and throw, you know, 5 corn seeds in the ground, and you're expecting, you know, a section of corn to be grown. Well, dummy, you're not going to get it because you didn't sow enough seed for that corn to grow. So if you want more corn, you got to sow more seed. That's all it's saying, right? And so, Lord, I want to sow generously. I want to sow into what? Sow into whatever you tell me to sow into, whatever field you want, whatever person you want, whatever, you know, minister, whatever it is, Lord, I want to hear from you where you want me to sow my seed.
Yes, come on, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And then, Lord, like we talked about, everything I have belongs to you anyway.
Yes.
And I'm just a steward of what you gave me. So what do you want? Now watch this. If the Lord wants you to have a great harvest, He's got to get you great seed.
Thank you, Lord.
Let me say that again. The pressure is off of you because if God wants you to plant 2 yes. sections of corn in the North 40, He's got to bring you enough seed to plant.
Yes, Lord.
Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is, Lord, the seed is not my problem. My problem is getting my heart to the place where I'm available for you to get the seed to me. And then once you get me that seed, I'll sow it.
Yes, Mom.
There have been farmers in the past who've planted seed, and I'm not a farmer, don't know anything, but I've heard testimony of farmers. Whatever crop they have, They'll find the best crop, the best portion of that crop, and they'll let that go to seed.
Right.
Right? Why? Because they want that kind of product the next year. So they'll harvest all the rest of it and keep that seed. But there are some that are foolish enough to go, I want to eat all of it. So they eat all of their produce or their crop, and they have nothing to sow afterwards. I think a lot of us eat our seed.
Yes.
I think a lot of us eat our seed. And we eat our seed because we are looking at the source of our ability to do what God wants us to by our own strength and our own capacity and what we have and what we don't have. Instead of viewing the God of heaven and His availability to get to me what I need.
Yes.
It's amazing how this has happened over the years to me, because it's like God will put something in my heart that's way beyond me. And I try to be careful not to let the words come out, how can I do that? I try to have the words come out, I am available. And when I'm sure it's God, the words turn to, we're going to do that. And time after time after time, personally as a church and in different areas, God's made that happen. God's made that happen. Why? Because He wants to use us. He wants to use you, me, to do something great. Glory to God. Glory to God. Watch this again, our hearts. Let's go further. I'm going to get bogged down here. Verse 7. It says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Your giving should be in your heart. You should purpose in your heart to give. And I'm not talking about just money. The offering's already been prayed for. We're not talking about this offering. What I'm talking about is our heart to give. God, put it in my heart. I want to love people. I want to be available for you to use. I want people to be blessed through me. So, Lord, my whole motivation for giving is to have your love shown through me.
Yes.
Right. So whether it's a dollar, whether it's a word of encouragement, whether it's a word of edification, whether it's a word of admonition, right? I want my heart to be one that's purposing to give. Do we have heart that's even thinking about giving? The self, the flesh is selfish. Listen, here's something you don't need to pray about. You don't need to pray about it. You don't need to ask God about it. Am I selfish? Yes. Am I self-centered? Yes. Yes. Why? Because it's always me, 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 me. What do I need? What do I, you know? And the reality is that Christianity says that we're supposed to die to that and put him. What is your will? What is your plan? What is it for me? Right? And again, this is the bedground for supernatural results in your life. Yes. Is allowing God to put in your heart, I'm a giver. I'm a giver. God, I just want to be used by you as a pipeline. I want to give my prayers. I want to give my time. I want to give my words of encouragement. I want to give it all to you because, God, you can use me. You can trust me. Come on. The integrity of our heart. Watch, it's so good. Purpose in your heart to give. Look, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. How many have given something but you go, oh, God, I don't know. I don't want to do that, God. I don't want to, you know. In Isaiah, there was... He was talking to the prophet and he said, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Like one man said, he said he'd been out in the ministry, things hadn't been going great for him. Been out preaching, God, I'm doing your will. I'm doing what you want. You told me to do it, and Lord, I'm willing to do it, Lord. He said, I've been obeying you to do it. I've been obeying the Lord. I've been out here. He said, yeah, you got half the verse right. You're obeying, but you're not willing. You know, it doesn't take long to get willing. It doesn't. When you see it, oh, Lord, I'm willing. Lord, I will to do your will. I want to do your will. I hope to do your... God, that's my passion, is to do your will. And God said, I like that. He looks over at you when you're willing to do what he wants you to do. He says, I like that. See his heart? Come on, see his heart? That's what I like. That's what I want. Again, this is in every area. This applies in our families. When we're giving to our kids, when we're giving to our siblings, when we're giving to our cousins, I don't give so that you give something back to me. I give because my heart is to bless you. You don't owe me anything. Nothing. Nada. Now, flesh will come back. Watch. This is how flesh comes back. Have you ever been in this situation where you've given something to somebody and then they messed you over? Oh, just me? Okay, just me. And then your heart is, after all I've done for you, you're going to treat me like that? That's a heart check right there. No, 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 no. The Lord told me to do what I did, and so I'm not going to let you steal what my blessing is because I gave it with no strings attached. So you're free. You do to me whatever you feel like you want to do to me, but I'm going to trust God to bless me. Come on. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having a full sufficiency in all things, may have abundance for every good work. I'm available. I haven't reached my potential yet, but I'm growing. I haven't reached my potential of seeing that God is, and I've been meditating on this verse for near 40 years. And God is able to make all grace abound toward me, so that my heart is such that I can give to every good work. There have been so many times when I went, Lord, if I had enough money, I'd pay her rent. If I had enough money, I'd pay this doctor bill. If I had enough anointing, Lord, I'd just lay hands on them and they wouldn't have to deal with that anymore. If I just had more, right? It's not that I don't have more. It's that I can't see more in me. Because if the Holy Spirit is living in me, how much more do I need? And he said, I made all grace abound towards you, that you having enough sufficiency, right? So my heart, God, is to let that spirit of wisdom and revelation of knowledge of you just grow and grow and grow and grow on the inside of me, so that I can see the full capacity of the God who is more than able to make all grace abound toward me, and that he wants to do far exceeding above everything that I ask, everything that I think, everything. Why? So that he can be glorified in his church.
Yes.
Watch this. This is so good. So good. Y'all still here? Y'all getting something much more? Let's go. Come on. Verse 9. As it is written, he is dispersed abroad, and he's given to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. I believe that's talking about God through you.
Yes, come on.
Yeah. Come on. Okay. He has dispersed abroad, given to the poor, and his righteousness endures forever. Now watch this. Catch this. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food and food supply and multiply the seed that you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Now watch this. While you are enriched in everything with all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also in abounding through thanksgiving to God, while through the proof of this ministry they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men. What this is saying, your heart, obedient to what God gives you to do, is a testimony to those outside knowing that the gospel has had validity in your heart.
Woo! Lord.
Come on. What are you doing that for? Because Jesus told me to. Why are you doing that? Because I feel like that God wants me to do. Well, listen. You gave me $100. I didn't do anything for the $100. It's God that gave me this, right? And people go, God must be, listen, God must be doing something in him, must be doing something in her. There's something different about them. There's a spirit or a heart that's different. Are you listening to me? So what I'm saying is, God, give us hearts for the lost. Give us hearts for those who are in need. Give us hearts for those who are depressed. Give us a heart for those who are in bondage. Give us a heart, God. But watch this. Don't stop at your ability to meet the need.
Right, come on.
Don't stop at your ability to meet the need. Start to seek him for his ability to work through you to meet the need.
Yes.
Right? What does that look like? What do I say? What do I do? How do I act? Who do I reach out to? Come on. Give me a word of wisdom. Give me a word of knowledge. Give me discerning of spirits. Because my heart is for people to see you in me so that it will change them towards you.
Yes.
Are you listen. See, provision for change. What I'm talking about is our ability to receive so that we can showcase who our supplier is.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
And again, not bragging on me, but bragging on God. Before Christ, I was a partier, right? I mean, I was into all those things that I'm not going to glorify, right? But I got saved. And I've been seeking God for a while. But watch this. I'm weird in my family. And they still look at me as Bruce, the old Bruce. And that's okay, I get it. But they know I'm different. They know I've changed. One of my nephews, I took him out to lunch, it's a long story. But he said to Uncle Bruce, he says, you're the wisest man I know. Huh? Why? Because God had put inside of me wisdom from him. Are you listening to me? Another friend of mine, this is after I got saved and I've been walking with the Lord just for a few months. A friend of mine's dad got sick. And he made this statement to another friend of mine. He said, if things get worse, I'll talk to Bruce because he can pray and God hears him. Right. God would hear him the same. You know, I mean, the reality is, though, is that if our hearts are to give of our time, give of our prayer, give of our finances, give of our lives, and lay our lives really down for one another. Watch this. You can't lay your life down for one another, lest Jesus pick it up and make it better and give it more. Right? You can't do it. It's impossible. It's impossible. What can I do for God? Anything that he puts in your heart to do.
Yes.
Anything that he tells you to give, put your heart toward, give it all. Say, Lord, I'm going to do that. Bless God. I'm going to do that. If you told me to give $1,000 to so-and-so's ministry, God, I don't have a dime to my name. But anything that you put before me, I'm going to start sowing into that. So it might just be $1 today. It might just be $10 next week. But by the end of the year, there's going to be $1,000 in their ministry because that's what you put on my heart to do. And I'm telling you that God will make sure that the resources come for you to fulfill that promise because the promise came from Him in the first place. Are you with me? I've got so many other places to go, but I just have this to say. I don't talk much about politics from the pulpit, but our country needs Jesus. Right? Our country needs Jesus. And evidently, the church as a whole, I'm talking about the body of Christ, we haven't done a great job. Because people are leaving the church in droves. Did you know that nationwide, there's, you know, people that are leaving, and it's like, Lord, I want that to change. It's in my heart to give my life for the country and for those people that have left because of whatever reason. Well, okay, that's good to say with your mouth, but are you going to back it up with your prayers? Right? Are we going to pray for our nation? Listen, I'm telling you, whether you're Democrat or Republican, the party is not going to save the United States. Right? No person is going to save the United States. It's going to take an outpouring of the Spirit of God to touch people's hearts. He wants to. He wants to. So we have to commit to give ourselves to pray. And sometimes, you know, have you ever prayed amiss? Anybody ever prayed amiss? God, I want a brand new, you know. Sometimes, well, that's not what I want for you. I want something else for you. Right? So I pray to miss, you pray to miss, all of that. But I don't think you can pray amiss when you're praying for the souls of people who are in bondage. Right? And we can pray. Come on. We can pray in English. But sometimes we don't know what the need really is. But those of us who've been filled with the Spirit, shame on us for not praying more in the Spirit for people in need. I don't know what George needs. Man, George needs an overall. But I don't know what George needs. I got some things I think he needs, and I'm going to pray that in English, Lord. But at the end of the day, Lord, I'm going to spend time praying for George in the Spirit. And I'm going to give my heart to that. You can use me, Holy Spirit, to pray through me with intercession for those who need a touch from you. Yes. See, I'm not talking about provision just as money. In fact, money's low on the totem pole. What I'm talking about is our hearts given completely to God. That God, you can use me. Put inside of me what you desire for me to do. And then, Lord, I'm going to believe you for the ability to do it. Okay, I got one scripture. I'm running over. This isn't on the notes even. But Acts chapter 1. Many of you could quote this, but listen to this. In verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the ends of the earth. What I'm talking to you this morning about is for your heart and my heart to be turned back to what God wants us to be. And it's really interesting. And you shall receive. How many are saved in the room? You know Jesus is your Lord and Savior. Come on, the Holy Spirit is in you. And then how many have been filled with the Spirit speaking in tongues, correct? And you shall receive. Everybody say shall. If you shall, then you have. Let me say that again. If it says you shall, when you did, you did. I have power. Now that power, it does talk about miraculous, you know, wonder-working power, pulling people out of wheelchairs, gifts of Spirit operating. But it also means, watch this, it means divine ability. Divine ability. And let me just give you a scriptural reference for that. If you look in Acts chapter 6, where they were having all kinds of disputes, and they said, find seven men who are full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. That's interesting phrasing. The wisdom that he was talking about is the natural ability to do something. But the Holy Spirit is the divine ability hooked up with the earthly so that they could get things done. And he absolutely did it. And you see the proof of it through Stephen, through Philip, on and on. So wait a minute. Yeah, but that was then, that was then. No, this is now and this is you. I said, this is now and this is you. If the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you, then He's got more things for you to do with supernatural ability to do them. Amen. But you have to have a heart to give. Amen. And then God will give you the seed to sow.
Yes, come on.
Did y'all get something this morning? Yeah. Hallelujah. Zach's got a testimony or something he wants to share right quick. So, Dee's mic.
Hello.
You got it, Josh? Dee, push the button.
Holy Spirit! So this week, I always come across things and people. The Lord's like, I want you to share this testimony. I don't share all testimonies unless the Lord tells me to. So, went into a building. This guy's got a walker. He's walking around. He's, you know, doesn't have a home. I'm still on the clock, by the way. I normally don't work on the clock, but I'm actually on the clock. I took some pictures in the back of the building. I come back by. I'm trying to go faster. I come back by this gentleman, and he's standing there, and the Lord's like, talk to him. So I'm just like, of course, you know, I'm going to talk to him. Start talking to him. He starts telling me some things. He lies to me a little bit. I can see that he's lying, which is, you know, no big deal. Is he on drugs? Maybe. Doesn't matter. In my pocket, I'm like, Lord, you know, I don't have any change, except there's a couple 20s. And I'm like, but it's all your money, so I'm like, 20's no big deal, right? So I talk to him about the gospel. I talk to him about Jesus. I ask if he wants to recommit his life. He didn't want to recommit his life, but he said he knew the Lord. Good. I explained to him the evolution of God is in between every man, woman, and child. We got to help our little ones a little bit. And, you know, what does that have to do with everything? What has to do with our choices is what it has to do with. Young or old, it doesn't matter. Our choices. So after I explained to him and shared my heart about the Lord, and he told me some things, he's like, I can't even get a shower. They need $40 to get into this place. I need, you know, and he didn't say I need $40. He just said I don't have it. And he started telling me how he lost his finances and everything. Of course, prayed for that to be restored, right? And then I'm like, the Lord said, give him $40. I'm like, of course, Lord, it's all yours anyways. So eventually I reached in my pocket and I gave him the $40. I looked at him and I smiled and I said, look, you know, because I could kind of hear his thoughts. I said, this isn't in between me and you. This isn't between you and the Lord. So if you buy drugs with this money, it's okay with me. But that's in between you and the Lord. So I blessed him with that and gave him the freedom to make the choices that he wanted. And I know he looked at me with a tear. Oh, sir, thank you so much. I will not spend this money. I looked at him again. I just smiled and said, look, this isn't between you and the Lord. So again, by the time I got in the vehicle and I started checking out off the clock, I hung up and got a phone call. Boom, $100 job, just like that. It's not about me, it's about him. This testimony is not about me, it's about us as Amen. Sons and daughters.
Amen.
Who are you going to put your faith in, the world or this unseen God that nobody knows Amen. Or seems not to know? And the thing about being a Christian that makes it hard, everyone knows how you're supposed to walk. Everyone knows what you're supposed to do. But when you choose to keep your eyes upon the King of glory, all things are possible.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just come before you. If I could have the worship team come up. Lord, we just thank you for all those that are watching online. Thank you for joining us. If you don't know Jesus, give your heart to him. Just allow him to touch you. Just allow him to touch you. Lord, we thank you for just moving upon them. And in Jesus' name, we just ask you to bless them. Thank you for joining us. Amen.